encouragement. So to have, there's many, many things. When we launch our small groups next year, we're going to be, that whole launch is all going to be another study on relationship building and having healthy relationships. And that's a whole nother one. That guy's got 7 points if we use that curriculum. But that's all we're focusing so much on that, because if you just look around at our culture today, relationships are not valued very highly anymore. Can I get amen on that, church? It don't matter if it's a friendship, business relationship, church folks, family. As soon as things get a little squirrely, man, we're out, right? We don't want to put the work in to make something work. Is that right? How many of you guys, raise your hand if you have relationships in your life that are really, really good, have been around a long, long time. Anybody got those? I hope everybody does, right? But you know what, church? Let's face it, those relationships, most of those relationships probably hit a point somewhere where you could have walked away. Something happened where you could have been like, you know what? I didn't sign up for this stuff, right? You know, there's a couple, so sometimes you find folks that you just click and it's good all the time, right? But those are rare. Can I get amen, right? Marriages that have made it a long time. I mean, come on, church. I've been married almost 20 years. I've never had that. I'm just saying, my wife is listening. But right, come on, marriages that make it a long time, they learn how to deal with conflict and they learn how to deal with, you know, making that, I made this commitment. I'm not going to flake on this commitment because it's not going well. Right? So we're finishing up, maybe, as I said a moment ago, maybe finishing up this week on encouragement. I've 2 weeks in a row on encouragement. Sermon this morning is called Encouraged Together. Everybody say that with me, Encouraged Together. So if you look at my notes, everybody, there is first page is kind of reviewing last week. I just want to skip over that for the sake of time. So Romans chapter 1. Just turn there in your Bibles with me, and we're going to get right into scriptures this morning and going to be trying to, by God's grace, I'm going to be trying to unpackage a little bit of kind of combining encouragement with rapport. If you guys remember rapport a couple weeks ago, that rapport requires empathy, right? You guys remember that? Who remembers what does empathy require? For me to be empathetic towards my brother here, that requires me to do what? Action, right? But it really requires me to try to identify with his life, right? Not just me in his shoes, because that's still me looking at his life. I got to try to say, man, how's he seeing this thing, right? Not if I'm in his shoes, but if I am him, right? I've been in his past. I've dealt with his issues in his life. That's empathy, right? That's me trying to be him and see it through his eyes. Amen, church, right? And so the encouragement we're going to talk about this morning is going to kind of tie in back into that a little bit. Is that good? Romans chapter 1, verse 8. You guys all there? Yeah? It says, first, Paul says here, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. That's pretty good, right, church? For God, whom I serve in my spirit and the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you, always in my prayers, making request if perhaps now at last, by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. You guys see what Paul wants to do here? Hello? Man, we need some coffee or something. Get some coffee out. I don't know what's going on. You guys are quiet, man. Do you guys see what Paul's looking? What is Paul longing to do here, church? He's specifically longing to go see them, right? This is what he's saying. If by the will of God, I can finally come and see you, right? Now, verse 11, for I long to see you so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that often I have planned to come to you and have been prevented so far, so that I may obtain some fruit among you also, even as among the rest of the Gentiles. So when Paul says the rest of the Gentiles, he's talking about the other churches that he's established, right? Ephesians, Galatians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, right? He's talking about, I want some fruit in this church that I started, just like I've got fruit in these other churches that I started, right? Do you see what Paul's saying here, church? Is Paul is expecting something out of the church that he started, right? I'm just gonna bear with me as I'm preaching today. I'm going to try to bring this around so we all understand, because we can all, this applies to all of us, amen? But let me make a statement here, church. And this applies to just the mindset in America right now. There are currently, don't get scared by this, okay, but the statistics currently are that there are 1,000 pastors quitting a month in America. 1,000. When I heard that, the first time I heard that stat, I was like, there's no way. There's not that many churches. Like, that's 12,000 churches a year shutting down. How are there still churches? I've never seen a church close around here. Can I, right? Yeah, that statistic just blows my mind. How many churches do we have that there's that many churches closed and there's still churches around, right? And so here's my statement, because it ties into this sermon here, right, a little bit. Just hang on with me. There are for sure guys that have started in ministry that never should have. Can I get amen on that, church, right? You know, people say, hey, pastor, I really feel called in ministry. I said, you better pray a little bit more, bro. Right? Okay, ministry is not physically demanding at all, right? You can see by my muscular physique that I'm not, there's not a lot of physical labor involved with this job. But man, the emotional strain and the, Paul talks about, right? He says, I'm constantly burdened with concern for the church, right? So it's this emotional connection that is made, right, with pastors and not just pastors, prophets, these guys that step into this as a full-time vocation. Can I get amen, right? You understand? So anyway, here's my point. Are there pastors that probably never should have started? Probably. Probably a lot of them, amen? But what the Lord has really shown me, church, is that there's also a mindset in the body of Christ in America in particular where we've become, I'm sure you guys have heard this, but there's a consumer mindset, right? We want to, Christians in America, we consume, because we're Americans, that's what we do, man, right? We consume things. We buy, we make money to consume something else, amen? So we've got Christians come to church now in America. Please, this is huge, man. This is everywhere. Small church, big church, it don't matter. It's plaguing the body of Christ, amen? We've got folks come to church to take rather than to give, all right? Read the Bible. That is opposite of what the Bible tells us to do. The Bible clearly says that we can receive things from our brothers and sisters. Can I get amen, right? Book of Acts just talks about even that. It says that no, right after the Holy Spirit is poured out on everybody, it says no one considered their possessions their own, but everyone sold what they had, and they brought everything to the apostles' feet, and the apostles would distribute as was needed. Amen, right? I'm not telling you to sell your house and your stuff. I'm just saying there's a mindset that they had when there was raw power in the church that we do not own today. We don't own this. My house, my car, my jet skis, my stuff. My money, my bank account, mine. We're like those little seagulls, man, on a Finding Nemo. Mine. Right? And you know, let me paint one more little picture for you guys, all right? We actually prayed about it this morning, but an old friend of mine who I'd love to maybe bring back up in ministry, he used to talk about worship. But as I was working on this sermon this week, the Lord really showed me the same picture just about the mindset in the church today, right? This friend of mine would call it, he says, in a lot of churches, we have a lot of chicken worship. Not meaning that we're worshiping chickens, okay? That's not what he's saying. But he says, if you look in like a hen yard with chickens everywhere, and he said there's a lot of flapping and clucking, but not a lot of, there's no flight. Right, there's a lot of effort, but we don't actually go anywhere. Can I get amen on that, church? Right, and so he says, you know, the Bible says we're supposed to soar on wings like eagles. Right, you watch an eagle fly, man, they're not working hard at all. They just spread their wings and catch the updraft, right? And the problem is a chicken is you can only, you don't see very far. You got no vision if you're a chicken, right? All you're waiting for is like, wait, when's he going to throw that kernel, those corn kernels on the ground? And then it's a fight to see who can get more than everybody else. As if God, you know, right? Think about this, man. If God blesses this lady, that doesn't mean that God has less blessing to give to the next person. But we think that, church. Oh, no, how come God bless that person? Oh, no, I'm not going to get anything now. It's real messed up, man. Can I get an amen? There's the consumer mindset, man. Go out on Black Friday the day after we're supposed to be celebrating being grateful. Go on Black Friday shopping somewhere, man, right? The newest, whatever the newest gizmo is this year, man alive, right? I mean, you got people killing each other like 14 hours after we just ate turkey, and thank God for the latest tech gizmo that's going to be out of date in 3 months because technology's going so fast, right? Anyway, consumer mindset. Amen, church? Look, I am not saying for one moment that we should not come to the church if we need help. Somebody, give me some amens on that one, everybody. Right? If we need help, whether it's financial, emotional, whatever we need, church, we should be coming to the body of Christ. Right? The problem is that if the body of Christ is not bringing their supply, then when people come that have a legitimate need, I'm not just talking about money, y'all, right? Then there's not enough in the bank, so to speak, to meet that need, right? If we're all contributing something, then when there's a need, there's enough there. Is that right? Yeah? So kind of our mindset here. So this is what Paul is really addressing here, right? Look at what he says. I may be encouraged together with you, right, while among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine. I'm going to preach on verse 12 pretty good, but let me just finish up this thought on verse 13. I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that often I plan to come to you. So you see how much Paul, in just a few verses, Paul's like, I want to come see you guys. I want to come see you guys. I want to come see you guys. But look what he says. So that I may obtain some fruit among you also. Paul, as the apostle here, church, is looking to get something. Right? It's not money. It's not. Do you see what I'm saying? Paul's saying, man, I'm bragging about you guys. That's how he starts it, right? In verse 8, I'm bragging about you guys. Your faith is heard around the whole world, right? But then he's saying, look, when I come, I want to make sure it's real. Amen. So here we have Paul's first letter. Chronologically, it's probably not the first one he ever wrote, but it's the first one in our Bibles, amen, that Paul wrote. Romans, and then there's like 6-7 books straight that Paul wrote all of that. Amen, church. But look at, he greets them in verses 1 through 7, and then the first thing that he addresses is encouragement. Then interesting. Most theologians think that the book of Romans, they consider the book of Romans to be like the doctrinal book of the New Testament, right? They're saying, look, if you go to Bible school or anything like that, they'll tell you, if you can figure out the doctrine that's in the book of Romans, you're going to be real good, right? There's tons of stuff in there. You get Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8 is all about saved by grace, and he talks all, goes back and forth and all this stuff. So you understand, church? But before Paul gives any teaching at all, he says, I'm going to talk about encouragement. Amen? Paul says that he longed to see them face to face, physical contact. Paul wants to speak with them. He wants to hug their neck. He wants to eat together. He wants to play together. He wants to pray together. Paul's saying, I want to spend time with you. Look, church, we're so busy in our culture right now. It's like, well, let's stream the Bible study on Facebook. Well, cool. That's great, man. And if you literally can't make it, great. I mean, thank God for the technology we've got. Amen. But the problem is, church, it's been substituted saying, look, I got 6,422 friends on Facebook. Well, let's see something bad happen in your life and see how many 6,422 friends show up. 6,422 friends, you put it on Facebook, something wrong. You know what you're going to get? You're going to get a bunch of comments that do nothing to help you out in your situation. Pretty much like Job's friends. That's what you're going to get. Everybody's going to throw their advice up on Facebook because they're all experts about everything. Right? Am I preaching to anybody this morning? Right? But you know what, church? I use Facebook. I don't know. I thought it was the devil for a little while. It's not. How we use it. Amen. I'm on Facebook, but look, man, those people are not your friends. They're not your friends. Friends are people that I've spent time with, face to face. You've seen me cry. I've seen you cry. You've seen me laugh. I've seen you laugh. I mean, man, we went to Africa. Alex came with me to Africa a couple of years ago, and I had a rough couple of days, man, when I got down there. The spiritual climate was so oppressive down there, right? I mean, Alex, there's two nights in a row, guys, at church, I literally cried myself to sleep with thoughts like this. You should not be here. You're never going to get home. You're never going to see your family again. I mean, these thoughts were just hammering in my mind, church. Crazy stuff. Never had that happen in my life. And so here's Alex comes to Africa with his pastor, and his pastor's losing it. We're on the other side of the planet, and Alex is like, oh, no, what did I sign up for? Right? And you know, church, I mean, God, like, I just prayed, and, you know, I prayed and prayed and prayed and went after God, and God snapped me out of it. Can I get amen, right? Anybody been there, right? Where you're just, your mind's going 1,000 miles an hour, and you're like, what I said to the Lord is, I can't handle this. And he said, yes, you can. And it was, boom, just like that, snap right out of it, amen? But my point is Alex, that big guy in the back, has seen me at my worst. You know, and our relationship got tighter, not looser. He didn't bail like, oh my gosh, I thought you were spiritual. Man, can I get him answered? Bishop Michael Pitts put something up on Facebook the other day, and this is what he says. He says, you know, when God allows you to see somebody else's fault, he's not testing them, he's testing you. Let me say that one more time. When God allows you to see somebody else's fault, he's testing you, not them. Can you handle it when that person is not as perfect as you thought? Right? Everybody that's been married for more than 5 minutes said, help me, Jesus. So, church, look at what Paul, let's get back in the Bible so I don't get in too much trouble. Paul wants to come to them. So what is he saying? I want to come see you physically. I want to hug you. I want to cry with you. I want to pray with you. I want to, right? Physical, man, I want to be with you. And he says, so that you might be established, right? That's what's in verse 11 right there, right? So the Greek word for established, church, literally means strengthened, okay? And the word doesn't really mean like strong, like big muscles like me, but it rather means, why are you laughing, bro? That ain't right. This is muscle in reserve, man. I use it when I need it. If I need to push something, this is handy. All right. So anyway, do you understand, church? It's not talking about strong like this, like, right? But it's better to think of the word in reference to like a building, right? And Paul's saying, I want to come to establish you. What I want to spend time with you to establish you, right? He's saying, look, the church is there. The church ain't brand new. It's there. But he's saying, I want to come spend time with you to establish the church. I'm looking to shore it up. Paul's like saying, it'd be like going to a building that you haven't been in a while, and you're looking around. You're looking to see, are there cracks in the sheetrock? You know, you go down in the basement, right? If you go look at a house, if you're going to buy a house, first thing you should look at is the basement. Second thing is the roof. Don't look at the kitchen. Don't look at the bathroom. None of that stuff matters, man. You can make all that stuff nice. But if the foundation's messed up, you got a problem, right? This is what Paul's saying. He says, I'm coming to the church. I want to establish you. I want to make sure that what I taught you before is sticking, right? You guys see it? Then he says that we might be encouraged together. Amen. Verse 12, that I might be encouraged together with you while among you. At this phrasing here, church, Paul says that he does not only want to give encouragement, but does Paul suggest that he's some kind of never-ending encouragement fountain? Right? There's only one well that never runs dry, everybody. Can I get amen on that? There's only one who never sleeps or slumbers. Right? We, except for toddlers, they never sleep or slumber either. Yeah, we've got number 4 coming pretty quick, man. Sleep when they sleep. Amen? All right, so praise God. But can I get amen, church? And going back to the consumer mindset, what I know that God is showing me is that some pastors have quit because they feel, I'm not saying it's true, I'm saying this what they feel like. They feel like I'm constantly getting pulled on. Right? And they just, I didn't sign up for this. Can I get, please understand, church, this is not a sermon about our church specifically or me or whatever. I'm doing great. Praise God. Amen. I'm trying to, look, we're talking about building the right environment in our church. We're talking about the kingdom of God. We're looking at laying, look at our church. Guys, our church has called at some point. God says, I am going to raise the lampstand of this church. It is going to be an influence in the region. Can I get amen on that? What I'm preaching, church, is the future of our church, not now. Right? I'm not talking about last year. I don't care about none of this stuff now. I'm talking about, look at, this is what God has called us to do. God has said, I am going to position this church in a position where other churches will come and say, show us how you did it. That's prophetic words over our house, church. Come on. I'm not making that stuff up, right? Look it. So we've got to plow, man. Why do you think the devil's coming at us so hard? Because he knows if we will punch through and grab onto what God's called us to do, there will be, it will be incredible, man. Incredible. Right? Can I get amen? So well, that's what I'm talking about, man. Look, I'm talking the culture, right? The culture. I've talked to some pastors recently that they're just like, I'm done. I said, no, you're not, man. Come on. You're all right. You're all right, bro. Right? Come on, church. What am I doing? I'm encouraging you. Come on, man. You're going to make it. Right? Man, I went through a couple of tough years. I needed encouragement. I got it from good people, man. Good folks. Right? We all have times we need encouragement, man. When we're just I'm done. I'm out of here. Right? You know, one of the worst places we can be? When we're in a marriage and we've punched out emotionally. Just going through the motions. When we come to church and we're just doing it because we're supposed to. Man, you know how to fix that? First of all, find somebody safe and be honest about it. You know, man, I ain't feeling it. You know what we do in our culture today? We just leave. We just leave and then point fingers. Oh, well, that church. It's all over the place. Look, do churches need to change? For sure, man. Is our church perfect? Not even close. No one is. Right? So let's just be honest about that. Can I get amen? Right? Do you see what I'm saying, church? It requires relationship, man. If I'm in a bad place, I've got to find somebody that's going to tell me the truth, number one. And then number two, I know is not going to bail on me when I'm real. Right? So Paul is saying here, back to our scriptures, that he wants to receive encouragement as well as give it out. He's saying that encouragement is something that everyone is not only responsible to give, but also is able to give. No matter where you are in your life, church, one of the ways to be encouraged is to be an encouragement. Amen? Right? We hear people say, well, I just don't feel loved. Well, who are you loving? Right? I just feel lonely. Well, are you doing anything to reach out and build some relationships with people? Or are you just, oh, nobody talked to me again? Who are you talking to? Can I get amen, church? I gotta take some responsibility. If there's things in my life that I don't like, that I don't like this. I've got to be responsible. How am I contributing to this situation? Am I relationships, right? Am I being the kind of person that other people want to be around? Amen. It's good preaching. So let's dig a little bit here into what Paul, I think, is saying. And I want to bring some examples into this that have nothing to do with church. Because this is not just a church message. Can I get amen? Right? So Paul's approaching the church as a leader. All right? So, church, listen, every single one of us in this room right now, with the exception of maybe some of you guys that are still teenagers, but maybe even you guys as well, if you haven't done it yet, you will do it. Every one of us has been in a position of leading somebody, right? And what I say when I say leading somebody, look, we all have somebody in our life that's watching us to see what we're going to do, right? And I don't mean that in a weird way, like, oh, they're spying on me. Nah, they look at you and they say, man, I really like what that person's, their marriage looks healthy. I'm gonna try to like, just, you know, like, man, I wanna, how'd you do it, right? You see somebody, I mean, for me, church, it's like when somebody drives in with a nice car, I'd be like, all right, man, how'd you get that? I like cars, you know what I'm saying? Like, or whatever, right? We all have somebody, if we're parents for sure, right? We've had these kids that God has given us, and we're leading these children. We're responsible before God to be an example for our kids, right? Paul says to one church, he says, follow me as I follow Christ. He says, I'm leading you, but I'm being led, right? I'm submitted under somebody, right? I'm not a lone ranger out here. Can I get amen, right? So think about this. Paul's coming as a leader. He's in a position of authority over the Roman church, right? But prior to Paul going to the church, right, you got to catch this, man. He's in the wilderness in the book of Acts. He gets Jesus accosts him on the road, right? He goes blind. He doesn't fall off his horse. That's not in the Bible. Just saying. Doesn't say he's on a horse. It just, we make that up. Not that important. But he's not on a horse, so stop saying that. Amen. It doesn't say that. But anyway, he goes blind, right? Oh, I want to have a Paul experience, Pastor. You ready to go blind for a few days, bro? Oh, we all want the outcome without going through the process. Amen. So, right, church, he goes blind. He's blind for 3 days. He gets led to this place. Whatever the guy's name is comes out and prays for him. He gets his sight back, scales fall off his eyes. The next thing that happens, church, is he gets led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness for 3 years and change. And he said, the Bible says he's taught directly by the Holy Spirit, right? And you know what's going on with Paul? Because he's such a religious man, he's a Pharisee of Pharisees. He knows a lot of stuff. But part of his process in the wilderness is to unlearn all the stuff he doesn't need to know so that he can learn what he does need to know. You know, some of the hardest folks to teach are folks that have been Christians for 20 years. Man, because they thought, I've been a Christian for 20 years. Okay, praise God. I'm good. I'm going to say this. I don't say this, okay? But I know someone that used to say, are you a 20-year-old Christian or are you a 1-year-old Christian 20 times? Amen. It's pretty good. I didn't say that, church. Don't get mad at me. Right? So what's my point? Paul comes out of the wilderness, and then what's he do, everybody? I mean, think about what we would do in our culture today. You know what would happen if we spent 3.5 years in seclusion with the Holy Spirit? You know what we do? We'd walk into a church and demand the pulpit. Come on, man. Can I get amen on that? We'd walk, you, bro, I just got done with 3.5 years with the Holy Spirit. Have I got a word for you? You know what Paul does, church? He goes up to Jerusalem to Peter, James, John, the established apostles, and he submits everything he's learned. And the apostles, the established apostles who are head over the church in Jerusalem, actually, say it with me, they approve him. Say it with me, church. They give him approval. Amen? If you remember last week when we looked at encouragement, one of the definitions of encouragement is approval. It's approval. So, track with me here. I'm grinding this out. When Paul is going to the Roman church, he's talking to the church. He says, I want to be encouraged together with you, right? Now, but Paul's coming as a leader, right? Paul's coming as in a position of authority over this church. Is Paul looking to the church for approval? Everybody say no. You don't get approval from somebody that's under you. Can I get... Right? What I forget where it is in the Bible, but if you happen to know where it is, just shout it out because it's really good. I don't know where it is, but it says, without doubt, the lesser is blessed by the greater. And he's talking about Melchizedek blessing Abraham. That's the reference, right? Melchizedek was greater than Abraham, so Melchizedek blessed Abraham, right? The lesser doesn't bless the greater. That's not a biblical principle, church, right? So when I have kids, am I looking for approval from my kids? No, right? Can I give you a little advice? When you, if you're, you know, honey, could you pick up the, you know, could you clean up the, change the dishwasher? Okay. I'm not asking you. I'm telling you to do it. Could I get a somebody? How many parents are you guys sleeping? What's going on with y'all, man? Look it. Because you know what? I need one of the things I need to train my kids to do is that when they get at some point in their life, somebody's going to tell them what to do, not ask them to do something. Okay. They're going to get a job where the boss is going to say, do this and have it done by such and such a time. So one of my jobs is to prepare my kids for that environment. Well, can I clean my room later? No. Clean it now. Why? Because I said so. Man, I swear I would never say that to my kids when I was growing up. I will never say that. Oh, man. Wow. Or, why do I got to do this right now? It's none of your business. Just do it. Got to get a man, church. Right? So look, what am I saying, church? What am I saying? Is Paul coming to the church looking for approval? Nah. Because you don't get approval from somebody that's under you. Please, we don't like this concept in our culture today, but this is kingdom stuff, man, okay? You don't get approval. Your kids don't approve you, right? They can. You know if you're the parent, you're doing what you know is right. It doesn't matter what they do. You're going to stick to your guns. Is that right? Right? So church, because Paul got approval already from the people above him, right? Paul has been approved. He doesn't need approval from these guys. He's got approval from these guys, right? So for me, I have a pastor. I have four pastors over me, right? I don't call them, the type of approval when I call my, when I speak to even Pastor Al that's here or Pastor Ryan or Pastor Jim, what I'm looking for in a sense is approval, right? I'll say, look, I'm thinking about doing this. I'm thinking about doing that. God's talking to freaking my heart about this particular topic, you know, and here's the angle I'm coming at it with, right? Does this drive with you guys, right? You've been in this a long time. You've been 30 years pastoring. You've been 35 years, 40 years pastoring. I'm looking for wisdom. You're above me. I trust you, right? The encouragement I receive from people in authority over me is approval. Or, yeah, you know, man, I don't know if I'd go there, but you could move it over here and here, you know, right? Pretty good, but move it over here a little bit, right? There's the approval, right? Does that make sense, church? So what is the Roman church, right? When Paul says, I want to be encouraged together with you, what's the church looking for from Paul? Approval, right? And, you know, if you read through Paul's letters, Paul, He alludes to this. It's you got to pay attention when you're reading it, but he alludes to this, that he's really saying, look, when I come to you, look, one of his letters, he says, I've been strong in this letter so that when I come to you, I can be kind, right? What's he saying, church? He's saying, look, I'm addressing some stuff in this letter to you pretty strong so that by the time I get there, you've listened to what I said to you, you've taken it hard, you've changed this thing, so now when I come and I see you face to face, I don't have to correct you. I can hug you and say, man, that's really good. You see it, church? As parents, think about this, right? It's not about church. I'm trying to get us to see. It applies to church, but it applies to relationships. Everybody say relationships. This works, church, this stuff works at work. It works at school, right? It works if you got kids playing sports. You know what is the coach going to do for the kids? The coach is going to, you know, right? He's going to say, you know, run this way for this play, you know, run a button hook or whatever they say, football coaches or soccer coaches, whatever. The coach is giving instruction, right? And what is the kid looking for? If the kid runs the route properly, yes. Approval. Kid feels encouraged. Man, did it good, right? If the route is wrong or the kid doesn't do thing right, the coach is going to correct that and say, no, do it this way, right? Do you see what I'm saying, church? Am I driving this home good? So now let me use one more example just to make sure we get it, all right? I'm going to do it anyway. I don't need your approval. So as parents, let's just be real here, guys, right? I've got three kids, number four pretty quick. Some of you have got kids a little bit older. Some of you have got kids in the, I'm going to call it the nervous zone, right, where they're just kind of stepping out into their own 2 feet, you know, and you're like, hey, I hope they make good choices. Right? To me, I'm not there yet, but to me as a parent, I think that would be the scariest, like, 5 or 6 or 7 years right there. You know, they start, you know, they're going to drive by themselves, or they're going to, you know, hey, mom, can I go to this party? You know, you're like, I don't know. You know, right? Right? Like, you know, hey, the homecoming dance is coming up. Can I go? And you're like, let me see what you're wearing. Nope. Cover up, you know. Michael Pitts, that same preacher, when his daughter got to be a teenager, he says this one time, she was going to something at the school, and he says, get in here, let me see what you're wearing. And she walks in, and she says, what do you think, Daddy? He says, no, go upstairs and change your pants right now. She says, what the hell? What's wrong? He says, look, you got 15-year-old booty, and you got like 12-year-old booty pants on, so get back out there and get some 15-year-old booty pants on, and then you can go. I got daughters, man. I can say this stuff, all right? No. Okay, right? But here's my point, church, right? When our kids get to the age where they step out on their own and they can do stuff and there's nothing I can do about it, right? And then you get the phone call from your kid that says, Dad, man, this party I thought was going to be great, but they're drinking. And can you just come get me? I don't even want to talk about it. Just come get me. Right? I've got a friend of mine in ministry whose son, super, super, what an awesome family. Love to get him here sometime if we can. They're swamped. But his son was like 20 years old and went to a thing in college, and all the boys broke at pornography. And 20-year-old kid, right, 20 years old, calls his dad. He says, Dad, I need you to come get me. I will not stay. I will not watch this stuff. Right? Now, as the person in I'm talking about authority, right? Right? How is a person in leadership, how's a person in a place of authority, how do they get encouraged by the people under them? It's when the people that you're speaking to, that you're teaching, you're trying to help, you're trying to, with kids, employees, church folk, right? Even in our families, church, come on, man. You're going to have that little nephew comes up to you, hey, uncle, you know, Uncle Pete, you know, whatever, right? And then that nephew looks up to you, and you have an opportunity to speak into his life, right? And you never know. Sometimes, church, anybody ever been in a situation where you got a nephew or a niece, and they're too scared to talk to their parents, but they'll come talk to you, right? And you speak of life, say, hey, listen, man, I would do it like this, and you know what's encouraging in that position, church, is when you find out that they listen to what you said. As a parent, you say, man, all these years, all these things that I've poured into this kid, all the sacrifices I've made for this kid, all the money I spent, and all the times that I wanted to do this, but I sacrificed for my kid. And you know, right? Come on, church, right? And we pour in, and we pour in, and we pour in, and we pour in. And then they go off the rails. How do we feel as parents? Let's be honest, man. We feel like, man, I failed. We feel discouraged, right? Now, maybe we've done everything right. Maybe we've done everything we could know how to do. Am I talking to anybody? Look, it's not just about looking to be encouraged, looking for that approval. We all need it, man, right? I mean, when I got married, my dad, we're coming out to church. My dad was a great guy, but he was tough. And I remember coming out to church, man, it's probably going to make me cry just saying it, but he was standing there, I gave my dad a hug, and he said, son, I'm so proud of you. That was the first time in my life I remember my dad ever telling me that. 20 years old, you know? And church, let's face it, we all have this desire in us to hear that from somebody that we respect, right? We look up to people in our lives, whether it's parents, family members, coworkers, sometimes even friends. We have friends that they think we're just peers, you know, that we're on the same level, but we look at them and say, man, this guy's got it figured out, right? We long for this approval from somebody, amen? And if we don't realize that the ultimate approval comes from God, then we start looking for it everywhere except where we should look for it. Amen? But what I'm saying, church, is this approval, if God approves you for something, just please hear me. This is not a popular word in church culture today. If God has indeed approved you for something, then there will be someone else in authority that will recognize that approval. I got one yup. Not even an amen. Can I get a church? Is this good? Yeah? So look, what is Paul saying here? Let's try to drive this thing home. Is anybody really mad? I'm not trying to make you mad. I'm really not. Children look for approval from their parents, students from their teachers, players from the coach, employees from their supervisor. In that setting, listen to this, approval equals encouragement. Right? Look, we're going to launch small groups, everybody, in Jesus' name. So we're launching with four groups. That's the plan. So we've got four sets of leaders over these groups, right? Even in those groups, as those groups develop, maybe we get more as God sees fit, right? In those settings, I'm not talking about just pastor in the church. I'm talking about anybody in a leadership position, anybody in place of authority. Those group leaders are, you know, when you share something in group, you're brave enough to say, hey, can I share something? You know what you're looking for? Hey, wow, that was good. Right? It's good stuff. Can I, right? How many times have you guys ever been brave enough to share something with somebody and they go, that was stupid? Right? You're like, well, guess I won't do that again. Right? And as leaders, man, we've got to be careful how we handle when somebody's willing to open up and be vulnerable, right? The best way to think of this, let me just, again, I'm repeating this a little bit, but I want to make sure we're catching this, man. The best way to think of this is to think of parents and children, right? Parents, again, it's our job to help these kids mature, right? I got 18 years, maybe a little more, hopefully no more than that, because I'd like to be empty nested at some point before I'm too old to walk. I love you, but leave. Move out. Right? But as what I'm saying, church, all of us, right? All of us are going to be in a position at some point where we're not just the ones receiving the encouragement. This is what I'm trying to drive home today, I think. That's the consumer thing, right? Encourage me, encourage me, encourage me, encourage me, encourage me. But rather, maybe we need to look, as I open up my sermon about empathy, right? Maybe part of our role in the kingdom is to say, how can I encourage this person, right? So if I'm going to encourage this young lady here, you guys ever read like the Five Love Languages? You ever read that book? I've never read it, don't plan to, but I'm just saying it's not bad stuff in there, right? So if she receives encouragement a certain way, and I give it a certain way, but those are not the same thing. I can try to encourage her, and it has no effect on her life, right? I need to try to say, man, I need to develop a relationship. Let's say it with me, relationship. I need to spend time with this lady. I need to figure out what's going on in her world. You know, is she married? She's not married. Is she divorced? Is she whatever, kids, no kids, what should she do for work? I need to figure all this stuff out, and then I got to say, man, what can I do? This is how I feel encouraged, but what does she need? How can I encourage this lady? Because I could do something really nice, think, wow, that was awesome, and she's like, man, I feel like a jerk right now. Can I get amen on that, church, right? How many times we talked about it last Sunday. You do something, man, wow, that was awesome. And then, like, you know, you find out that it wasn't quite as awesome as you thought it was. Right? Good intentions. Tony Evans talked about that, right? That Tuesday night. We can say words with good intentions that are actually destructive. Right? Encouragement can be the same way if we're not careful. You understand? Encouragement, the definition of the word means to leave someone in courage, right? If I encourage this guy, when I'm done, he needs to feel courage. I can make it, man. I'm going to tackle this problem. I'm going to go after this thing. Whether it's something wrong with his money, marriage, kids, job, doesn't matter what it is. Church stuff, kingdom, right? Whatever it is, I need to try to figure out a way to leave him better than when I showed up. The baby thinks so too. Yeah. But at the same time, church, so there's, I hope you guys are catching this. I'm kind of bouncing around a little bit, but I'm almost done right here. So you understand, if I'm encouraging this guy, I'm the person in authority, right? I'm in a position of authority. I'm coming to him, maybe not even officially authority. Do you understand? But I'm the one that's saying, I think I'm in a good place. I see he's down, right? So that means I'm offering this. I'm trying to give him some approval, right? Some, you're going to make it, man. You're okay, right? Blah, blah, blah. But now in the Bible, does he have a responsibility as he receives that encouragement from me? Does he have a responsibility to return it to me somehow? Everybody say yes. Do you guys believe that or are you just copying me? Thank you for being obedient, but let's really believe that, right? Yes, he does, okay? But think about this. I just read something this morning. I said, okay, I think I'm supposed to share this because a little confirmation. I'll use me, okay? So if I preach something, hopefully today is one of them, where somebody comes and says, wow, Pastor, that was really great. That one really hit me. I feel challenged. A couple weeks ago, I got a few of them, right? Man, what a convicting message. I said, I like that, right? But you know what the problem? That's cool, right? But that's not encouragement. That's a compliment. I'm not doing it for that. Right? Because you know what's going to happen? Next Sunday, it could really stink. And everybody's going to walk out and say, oh, man, I'm not coming back next Sunday. That's how it's going to be, right? Right? If we get compliments from somebody, church, a compliment from somebody who's under you, everybody say under you, right? A compliment, compliments are come and go, man, right? They could be happy 1 minute and they're mad about something the next minute. You could be the greatest thing since sliced bread 1 week and then you're a dog the next week. Pardon the expression, nobody's a dog, but just hang on, right? Do you understand what I'm saying, church? It's not a compliment. If someone is in, the way I can honor my pastor, the way I can honor my dad who's in with Jesus now, right? The way I can honor my mom who spent 40 years of her life, 30 years of her life pouring into me and say, I'm going to live a life that brings honor to her name. Read Proverbs, man. So it's all packed full of that stuff, right? A wise son brings honor to his father. Do you see it? You have the person in authority, and then you have the person below that position of authority. Do you understand what I'm saying, right? As a son, do I have a biblical responsibility to bring encouragement in that sense to my father, right? As a leader, no matter, again, parents, pastor, boss, it don't matter. You know how we're encouraged? When we show up and everything's going good, right? When you get the phone call, say, Pastor, remember that time we talked about blah, 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 blah? Man, it actually worked. You know what? I could have 1,000 people say bad stuff about me. One of those phone calls, I go, yeah, man. All right. Give me 1,000 more nasty phone calls. I'm ready. Right? Right? I'm not inviting it. That's not licensed for you guys to send me nasty emails, all right? But can I get amen, church, right? Whenever we're in a position of authority, we're trying to help someone, what's encouraging to us is my help helpful, right? Am I making an impact here? Am I making a dent, right? So when we're the person that's under, like the Roman church or whatever it is, right? Our responsibility is to also offer encouragement back up. Paul says what? How is he encouraged? The next verse tells us that he says that I might obtain some fruit among you. Church, we got to get this thing out of our mind. I'm done right here. We say, oh, look at that ministry. It's so fruitful. You know what we mean by that in America? There's lots of people going there. That is not in the Bible, man. That is nowhere in the Bible. When Paul says that I may obtain some fruit among you, he's saying, are you becoming like Jesus? Right? Philippians 2. Let's just turn there real quick. I'm wrapping it up right here. He says in Philippians 2, we were there, we've been there for 2-3 weeks on and off, but look what he says in verse 2. Right? Therefore, if there's any encouragement in Christ, any consolation, you guys remember this part? Right? What's he say? Make my joy complete by, then there's a list, being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent in one purpose, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. Don't look out for your own stuff only, but also for other people. Right? What's Paul saying? You want me to, the way I receive encouragement is you're grabbing onto what I've told you and you're doing it. Paul's like, man, this is awesome. You know what? Paul could have, there could have been 6 people in that church. If they're doing good, he says, praise God. Right? Man, this American gospel, bigger's better, you know, that's garbage. It's garbage. I'd rather say, you know what? I don't want 500 skinny sheep that are dying. I'd rather have 50 that are strong and healthy. I don't mind 500 as long as they're strong and healthy. Amen. Right, church? Yeah. Let's stand up. Just want to read you one more verse here. Did this make sense, y'all? I was trying to be careful, because honestly, guys, this is not, as I said about halfway through, this is not about me. I'm not trying to get anything out of you. This is about kingdom and painting the future of our church. Amen? You understand? I'm in a good place, y'all. Really am. So in 3 John, listen to what John says here. He says, the elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth, beloved, I pray that in all respects, listen to this church, you may prosper and be in good health just as your soul prospers. But then let's keep reading. 2 more verses, and then I'm done right here. For I was very glad, listen to the wording. Who's writing this, church? John, right? John is like the apostle that Jesus loved. That's what he says, right? 3 John, right? For I was very glad when brethren came and testified to your truth. That is, how you are walking in truth. Verse 4, I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. Right? So for me, church, let's bring it home to spiritual stuff. As I was working on this sermon, what God was saying to me is that I have Johns in my life, right? I have my pastor who's like a John to me, right? He's like a father in the Lord to me. Can I get amen? I have other pastors in my life that are like a father to me. So God's saying, look, you know what? You know what's going to make them joyful? What's going to make them encouraged? What's going to make them feel good when they call, when I call them or they call me or they hear, hey man, I went to Pastor Mark's church the other day and you know what? Man, is he doing good? Right? As my pastors, they're going to be like, wow, yeah, man. Right? That's how encouragement goes up, not just goes down. Right? Amen? Is that good? Amen. So Father, we ask this morning, oh God, that you'd help us to see this. If there's any confusion at all, if there's anything I said this morning that was taken, either twisted a little bit or something I said that wasn't quite clear, Father, really what we're trying to accomplish here in Jesus' name is to build this environment where we have healthy, fruitful relationships, where we are encouraging other people. Just because I've got someone who's a mentor in my life or someone who's there for me doesn't mean that they're not going to need a little something back once in a while. Amen. And Lord, we ask dig out of our hearts, Lord, any kind of consumerism. Lord, we don't want that. I know we don't. We don't want to come and just take. But that's not kingdom. Lord, we want to bring an offering when we come. We want to pray for others in our church. Amen. It's not just about coming to church, Lord. Yeah, can I get amen, church? Right? But I'm going to stand in the gap for other folks in our church. I'm going to stand in the gap. I'm going to pray for the people. I'm going to figure out ways to be an encouragement to other people and not just receive it all the time. Amen. Jesus' name we pray. Thank you. Amen, guys. God bless you. Have an awesome week. We'll see you hopefully on Tuesday, either here or online. If you can make it, that'd be great. And have an awesome, awesome week. Amen. So, guys,